Good evening. I'm Rex Green, moderator of tonight's program. We're all bombarded by advertisements, from the moment we wake up till the moment our heads hit the pillow at night. On the radio, and in podcasts, on TV, on highway billboards, and on almost every site we visit on the internet. Many of us think we're not susceptible to those messages. But tonight, two experts who know the ins and outs of advertising share with us the powerful messages embedded under the surface of ads. Messages we as human beings are susceptible to precisely because they're not obvious to the eye or the ear. Our two panelists are Surima Asmar, former account executive of a well-known ad agency we can't name, and Travis Bates, professor of behavioral science at Bellevue University, right here in River City. Let's get right to it, and let's be informal, okay? Everyone's first name tonight. Let's start with Surima. Surima, could you please share with us what you think are the most powerful techniques in the advertiser's toolbox?
Certainly, Rex. I hate to start with the negative, but in my experience, playing on people's hidden fears is an extremely powerful motivator to be used in promoting a product. If we're human, we have fears about health and safety, about how we are seen by others, etc., etc. You may remember that ad for smart toys? The ad implied that children who had these toys did better in school than kids who didn't have them. The ad made smart toys the hottest item last holiday season. It seems parents are all afraid their children won't be able to compete in today's world. The message in the ad was that these toys would put their kids head and shoulders ahead of others.
And to you, Travis, what do you consider the most convincing strategy for an advertiser to use?
Our research has demonstrated that nothing beats facts and figures in an ad. There are two general ways they're used: to prove something good about a product or to imply something bad about a competitor. For instance, if you're promoting a car you want young men who like speed to buy, you can either say it's the fastest car from 0 to 100 kilometers per hour, or you can show a clock and a speedometer as the car accelerates and prove just how fast it gets there. We found that nothing is more convincing than that because seeing is believing, and numbers don't lie. The most successful facts and figures ads show some sort of chart with the figures on other cars, implying that the other cars aren't as good to the client looking for speed. It might be that the other cars are superior in other ways, but by showing the relative speeds of all the cars, the advertiser implies that the car being advertised is the best. People are convinced by facts and figures because they prove things. That's why you see so many ads with facts and figures in them.
Very interesting. Now a question for you both. I've read that two really effective persuasive techniques are testimonials and snob appeal. I'd like to know your thoughts on those two techniques.
Travis, do you want to take one of those or should I start?
You go ahead, Surima, especially since you were known as the queen of the testimonial in your day.
Okay, so there are two kinds of testimonials: the celebrity testimonial and the average guy or gal testimonial. Celebrity testimonials have always been effective, especially for expensive luxury products. You see a famous movie star or a top-notch athlete endorsing a particular shampoo or a certain shoe by saying they always use them. And that gives the product a sense of value. We call it cachet. I mean, look at her hair. It's gorgeous. Or look at him run that race in those technical shoes. Using a product that famous people use implies that you're in the know. But mind you, testimonials don't have to come from celebrities. Lots of products use testimonials from ordinary people, no different from you or me. An average guy's endorsement of a product can make it popular because, hey, if that family on TV loves Oscar Wiener hot dogs, my family are like them too. Those people are like us. Average guys' testimonials can be extremely persuasive because they make a product seem down to earth and trustworthy. So, Travis, would you like to say something about snob appeal?
I would. It's amazing how susceptible most people are to snob appeal. Having this or that product will make others think you're, well, pick one: very rich, very elegant, very smart, very successful. Many, many products manipulate consumers into buying those products because people care a lot about how others see them. Snob appeal is often used for luxury brands of food or drinks. Imagine this ad. You hear soft music. You see elegant people at a private art exhibit at an upscale art gallery with beautiful abstract paintings on the wall. Couples are strolling through the exhibit and looking at the art, holding small demi-tasse cups of coffee set on tiny china saucers. You hear the voiceover. What's the coffee served at the most elegant events in town? Chevalier. Nothing says elegance like Chevalier.
Well, before I let you go, let's talk about one last technique. Manipulating people's emotions. Pulling on our heartstrings. Making us feel guilty about something. To me, the ads I see asking for money for mistreated and abandoned dogs, or even more powerful, ads about children in poverty who need surgery and can't get it because they're so poor. Ugh, I just can't walk away from those.
Right, the tearjerker ads. You see those sad eyes of the children or the animals, and the first thing you want to do is open your wallet. Many people are powerless to resist these powerful messages. And they make it seem like so little of a sacrifice. For just $1 a month or whatever, you can provide clothing and medical care to a child or shelter the poor abandoned dog. I'm not suggesting there's anything wrong with these ads, but it's interesting how similar they are to each other and how well advertisers know they work.
Well, please join me in thanking Surima Asmar and Travis Bates for a really interesting panel.